I've often wondered how writers know when their books are finished and if they change anything if they were writing them today. In a fascinating experiment, New Zealander Belinda Kitchen asked the authors of very famous books to scribble in, I believe that the word is probably annotate, first editions of their best known books. Right now, over 80 of them are being auctioned online by Christie's to raise money for English Pen, the organisation that defends free expression and campaigns for writers at risk. You can see examples of the works on our web page. First Editions, Second Thoughts, the project is called, or FEST. New Zealand authors Witiihi Maira and Eleanor Catton are there alongside Hilary Mantel and Ian McEwan, Margaret Atwood, John le Carré, dozens more. Belinda Kitchen divides her time between Hawke's Bay and England. She's with us now from Salisbury. Congratulations, Belinda. You've been working on this for a while.
Thank you very much. Yes, 2 years, but that really was pandemic-driven. And it gave us all, the writers and me, loads of time, which was profitable.
Now, did you have to come up with the first editions, or did they have them and give them to you with their annotations?
A bit of each. So some, what I asked was, if you have one spare, would you like to donate it to Penn? And if you don't, I'll find you one. So I did both.
I'm imagining, given that you're married to book collector Rick Jacolski, I'm imagining that he might have helped acquire a few first editions for you.
Well, he did actually say he would start to buy the books for me, but I soon found it was actually easier to do it myself, Kim.
all four writers who've won Booker Prize twice took part. J.M. Coetzee, Peter Carey, Margaret Atwood, Hilary Mantel. One of the most poignant ones, actually, beyond those, is John le Carré, who died halfway through the process, or less than halfway through the process. And we've got a picture of a page on our web page in which he scribbles his regret at a couple of bits that he wrote, which is very frank, isn't it?
It is. Quite a lot of the writers are frank, but he was absolutely right about that. I mean, what he wrote in the book, which was published in 1963, so he was returning to a book he'd written 60 years ago.
This is The Spy Who Came In From the Cold.
The Spy Who Came In From the Cold. And he'd written, it's the scene where Lemus is sort of packing up after having a bit of an affair. I can't remember the woman's name, with somebody he's been using as cover. And she notices that he's leaving because various things have been moved around his apartment and packed away. And then he pours her a glass of wine. Well, that's all right. But then he writes this. He writes, "Alec, oh, Alec, what is it? Is it goodbye?"
Snort.
And he writes, le Carré or John Cornwell writes 60 years later, "I wish I hadn't written that."
And then a bit later on, he writes, "Goodbye, Liz," he said. "Goodbye."
That's right.
And yes. Then he writes, "Better to have omitted Admitted. This."
Yes.
Bless
that's
him.
Right.
And that's I mean, I don't want to be crass, but the fact that he died in the course of it can only make the book even more valuable in some peculiar way, can't it?
Well, it was difficult to get David Cornwell to agree to do it. I asked several times, and he finally did. I think that was probably because he wasn't feeling terribly well. He hung on to the book for a while, and probably he had it for probably about 8 months. And then, you know, unfortunately he died. And his son, Nick Cornwell, said he came up from London to Cornwall, where the family lived. And the day after his father died, or something like that, he went into his father's study. And, you know, there was the book sitting on his desk with this very innocuous and very unassuming little bit of white paper. And he picked it up and discovered that he'd done his last annotation on page 45, I think it is. And so he was in the process, I think, from reading his annotations, that he was rather enjoying it.
Yeah.
And quite interested by the process. And a lot of the writers are. Some of them hate it, but a lot of them really love going back to their books. I mean, Hilary Mantel talks about the fact that the book is returned to you, because when you finish the book and it's published, it's that's it. When you annotate it, it's returned to you to have another look, and you can go back into another process of recreating the same book. I think that is how a great many of the writers in this particular fest have approached the whole thing.
And in fact,
we've had people who annotated throughout books.
Yeah.
Thousands of words.
Well, she did that, didn't she? She did two of her Wolf Hall trilogy.
She did. She did the second two, and she wrote 4,000 words in one and 5,000 in the other. So, and she has the most beautiful handwriting, so you can read every single word.
Some really attended to the text as well. Ian McEwan is another one, An Atonement. It must have been a fascinating process for you, not only seeing this, but working with the authors.
I was lucky to, you know, be in email communication with lots of writers, not with all of them, because some of them have agents who are intermediaries, but with many of them. The thing that rather spoiled it for me was the pandemic.
Sure.
Because I escaped to New Zealand, and all these books, which had been, you know, I'd been nursing along, you know, talking to the writers through the process and chivying them along and reminding them, etc., they were all delivered to my house in Salisbury, and my neighbour had to collect them and photograph a few annotations so that I knew what people had done. So I didn't get the pleasure of, you know, it's terribly exciting when the books arrive. Only a handful had arrived before I went to New Zealand and remained there for 18 months. So I missed all that thing of opening the parcel and seeing what somebody had done.
Another interesting one is Ai Weiwei's book, and which you've sent us pictures of some of them, and we carefully put Ai Weiwei's book the right side up for our webpage, which was the wrong thing to do because it's supposed to be upside down, because he's had it cut, or cut the book itself in the shape of Salvador Dali's profile.
No,
this
no,
is his
no,
book,
no.
1,000 Years.
No, no, Marcel what? Duchamp.
Oh, we... Marcel Duchamp.
Marcel Duchamp.
Well,
yes.
We will change that. What? We've carefully put Salvador Dali. I was going to ask you
dear.
Why Salvador Dali.
He'd probably be very amused by that.
So why Marcel Duchamp?
Ai Weiwei, I mean. Ai Weiwei, when he first went to America, left China and went to New York to study as an art student, he went to the Philadelphia Museum of Art and he saw Duchamp's work. You know, you remember he did the urinal.
Yes.
Called The Fountain, I think it was called. And he was, Ai Weiwei was very taken with Duchamp. He said it was Duchamp's emphasis on art as an intellectual and not simply a visual experience that would be a lifelong inspiration to him. And one of Ai Weiwei's earliest and important works is a piece called Hanging Man that he made in 1985. And he made, as Duchamp did, he took a found material to make what Duchamp and those who followed him called ready-mades. He took an ordinary metal wire coat hanger and he fashioned a profile of Marcel Duchamp as an homage and using the same ideas that Duchamp had given him. So that was in 1985. What he's done here is he's taken his own book and, I mean, what he has done seems to me to be the sort of the epitome of what an artist can do confronted with this project, because it's really a project designed for writers.
Mm-hmm.
But an artist has taken a book and turned it into a work of art, but with enormous integrity, because what he's done is he's taken his own Ai Weiwei's own autobiography. He's taken that, he has turned it upside down, because in traditional Chinese book binding, the binding was on the right. So he's turned the book upside down so that the binding is on the right and the open pages are on the left. Then he's cut the page edges to be a profile of Marcel Duchamp in reference to the coat hanger one, which was a long, long time before. He's then burnt the edges. So he's referencing his own life, his own book, freedom of expression, his own artistic endeavors. He's literally upended the profile. He's upended the book. He's turned things on its head. It's a disruptive thing to do. It's got the idea of another way of looking at things, or when you open the book, there's two profiles looking outwards. So that's a sort of, to me, that's like looking both ways. I mean, I just think it's the most remarkable object. And of course, really relevant with the burnt edges. When you pick it up, it smells and it's cindery, you know, it's powdery on the edges.
I don't know how the auction's working, Belinda. Is it have some works sold already? And if so, for how much?
Huh? Nothing has sold. Everything is up for sale until the auction closes on the 12th of July. So that will be the 13th of July in New Zealand, will it?
Yeah.
No, it'll be the 11th. It'll be the 11th.
In 10 days or so, people can get a link.
Yes.
To it,
there's a link on your website,
yeah,
and people all around the world can bid you, but you do have to register first, and then the book will be sent to you if you buy it. I mean, the two books you mentioned, the two New Zealand books, Witty Himara's The Whale Rider and Ellen McCatten's The Luminaries. I mean, I really do hope that they go home to New Zealand myself, because I think they're sort of Taonga for New Zealand.
Mm.
Both of them are remarkably good. You know, they have done the most fabulous annotations. So I hope some New Zealanders listening might just get onto the website and start spending money.
If they can find any. Times are hard.
Times
are very hard. As a matter of interest, which Salman Rushdie book is in the auction? Not the Satanic Verses, I'm guessing.
Oh, Midnight's Children.
Right. Did he annotate much?
Salman doesn't like annotation. So what he did was he wrote a rather kind of moving passage on the first page of the book. And for some writers like Salman, the stature of the writer and the stature of the book, because of course that book is very well loved. It's been like the Booker of Bookers, and, you know, it's always in the 100 best books in the world lists, etc. Those sorts of books have a value if the author merely writes a sentence, but he's written a pretty long paragraph in the front, which ends something like, you know, that the meaning of everything is love. It's very nice.
Have you got a personal favourite?
Oh, I love Mark Haddon's book, because he's just done the most gloriously funny, mad, caperish sort of stuff, sticking things in, using multiple colored pens, writing rude notes. I mean, it's just charming and wonderful. I love Witty's book, because Witty's book, he's done the annotations and he's done the writing in the shapes of koru, waves, and a lot of weaving. And he talks about the weaving, the way that he's woven the words, that use the words to make weaving shapes, and says that it's a metaphor for Maori and Indigenous creativity, and that he would like to be remembered. He's written this in the book. I would like to be remembered for the patterning of experience. Somewhere in the middle of it all is the meaning.
So you've got Roald Dahl's The BFG. Now, Roald Dahl died quite a long time ago. So how did it come to pass that this book, I think he's drawn inside the cover?
I'm saying Peter Blake, but of course it's not Peter Blake.
Quentin,
thank you. Did the drawings.
Ah.
And he did the original drawings. Roald Dahl worked with Quentin Blake.
Ah, so it's Quentin.
Dahl wrote the text.
Right.
And Quentin Blake did all the original illustrations. You know, he did all the illustrations in Matilda.
Of course. Of course.
Illustrations in the BFG. So what Quentin Blake did was a whole series of drawings in the book, throughout the book. I mean, he even removed the dust jacket and put a lovely picture of, I think it's on your website, of the BFG holding Sophie in his hand.
It's lovely.
It's just charming.
It is. It's absolutely charming. Everybody
wants to be the little girl in the hand, don't they?
The estimated prices for these, I'm looking through them, you know, they go up to £6,000, Margaret Atwood's The Handmaid's Tale, for example.
They're very low estimates, Kim.
Do you know? I mean, the sky's the limit. Depends on the day and the weather, I suppose, does it?
Depends on how many bidders you get. Have you noticed that Eleanor Catton's book is the second highest at the moment?
Oh, good spotting. Yes, I hadn't noticed that. We will watch this with interest. Thank you so much for joining us, Belinda. Belinda Kitchen, whose brainchild it was, Fest, it's called, first edition, Second Thoughts. And link on our webpage to the auction, over 80 annotated first editions by writers, including Margaret Atwood, Hilary Mantel, as we mentioned, and, of course, New Zealanders Witi Ihimaera and Eleanor Catton.